Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Sometimes we use the same text, but we won't use the same sermon. And I'm going to give you something today that's hit my mind the other day. And I'll give you a brief history of it. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I rather pray for and very truly pity God's children that are carried away in doubts and fears. And on our Facebook page, I look at it once or twice a week. I'm not on Facebook, but I can pull it up and see it. And been conversing with some man that was a little bit argumentative, and that's not why I'm here, but my point is to edify the body of Christ. But I do pray for those people that cannot see, and I pray for our people that can see, maybe just a little better. You got to understand what we have is a gift from God. But one of the things that stuck out in my mind, I'll say brother, I've never met him, but he professes Christ, so I'll call him a brother, was argumentative about was the fact that we teach once saved, always saved, which he said was wrong. And I find that very sad that a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, cannot see and understand that the blood of Christ has saved him from all sin. Christ is God manifest in the flesh. You cannot doubt his deity, his godliness. You cannot doubt his full godliness, nor his full humanity. We see his godness. I don't mean just plain godliness, but his godship, his godness, the second person of the Godhead. We see that by the work that he did in healing the sick, raising the dead, and laying his life down and raising it back up. We see his humanity and that he suffered and he bled and he died. He laid his life down, for God cannot suffer, God cannot die. We see the compassion both of Jesus Christ being the Son of God for his people and coming here to die for us. And we see his compassion as a man loving those that were his, manifesting that to us in the way that he walked and loved them while he walked here in the world. It's a sad thing to me that a child of God would doubt the finality of God's power of the blood of Christ. With that thought in mind, it is settled upon my mind this week praying, and I was praying when this came to me that God would give me a text to study and to think about, and I pray this is it. But I've turned, this scripture hit my mind earlier in the week. Turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, as the Apostle Paul has called together the elders of the church. We must understand that we have a kingdom of God here in the world that came down from God out of heaven. That it is here by the hand of God. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God appointed it to him, and he appointed it to us. And by God's good pleasure, because he loves us, he gave us this kingdom. The world is darkness. The world is death. There is nothing in the world but death and hell and sorrow. It is controlled, if you please, for the sake of understanding why things are as they are, by the prince of the power of air, who is also the prince of darkness. Therefore, there is nothing good in this world. That's why we're told not to love the world or the things of the world, but to seek the things which are above. That's why Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. With that said, we are promised suffering in this world. There are many types of suffering, from bodily suffering to suffering, as Brother Freddie prayed, those that are poor in spirit, those that hurt, those that mourn, those that are cast down, depressed, and in sorrow. There are afflictions that are given to us by worldly religions. There are afflictions given to us by worldly people. There are afflictions upon God's people from governments of men. Oh yes, oh yes. Take a gander in the Middle East. Take a gander in Asia. People in nations which their government despises Christianity and the Son of God. This is nothing new. From the time that Satan beguiled Eve, sin has been in the world when Adam rebelled and fell. From the time that Cain slew Abel, there's been violence in this world, and hatred preceded that, because if he was not of the wicked one of the devil, if he was of God, he would have loved his brother, 1 John 5 teaches us, but he was not. He was of that wicked one, the devil. There's nothing in the world that's good. There's nothing in the world for a child of God. Church history proves that. We've talked about it before. We can predate the church, and we can see natural Israel in the state they were in, being hated, being in bondage to Egypt, when God, by His right hand, His power, and that is Christ, delivered them from that. They were made to wander through the wilderness because of unbelief. They came across nations and kings that hated them. Oh yes, some feared them because they were manifested as God's people, as a nation, and that God was with them. But we see the afflictions and the tribulations and the persecutions they suffered from those that hated them and those that hate God. You can't tell me the Philistines loved God's people. They hated God. They did not worship God. They worshiped Dagon. We see others who worship Baal, however you want to pronounce that, did not love God, at enmity with God, as we are by our nature, and haters of God. That's the beauty of the kingdom of God, is this is a place that God hath given us, where we dwell together with God and with each other, where the truth of God, the gospel, the good news, and I'll say this, there's no good news in a salvation that can be taken away or be lost. You cannot lose your salvation. Romans 8 proves that. For nothing, height nor depth, life nor death, principalities, powers, nothing, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If Christ died for you, nothing can take you from God. John 10, my sheep are in my hand. They're in my Father's hand, and no man plucketh them out. You cannot lose eternal life. If you love God, that's the good news of the gospel, that God loved you before the world ever was. We come to Acts 20, and we'll find in verse 17, Paul's in Miletus, and he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, Paul has got a reason in calling them, because he's going to Jerusalem. He's about to be delivered into the bondage of Rome again and eventually be put to death. And we can prove that if you follow the rest of the book of Acts. But when they were coming to him, he said, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Here is a persecution that God suffered, that Paul suffered from his own countrymen, from his own brethren in the flesh, the seed of Abraham. And Paul was of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. We need to realize that just because someone is of our own kindred, whether it be flesh or even spirit, even brothers in Christ who are not agreeable on the truth of the gospel, that we'll have persecution from them. That has been and always will be as long as the world is. We are called of God as an assembly to bear witness unto God. God will not be left without witness. The sun, the moon, the stars declare the glory of God. They are a witness unto Him. But God will always have a people in this world of darkness which He has touched and moved, which are revealed unto them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not giving you secret things, for the Bible is of no private interpretation. Every born-again child of God, born again, has the ability to see and know and understand the Scripture. Each one has the ability to come into the church, to listen to the sound of the true gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the gospel. That Christ saved you from your sins, and nothing can take that away. Nothing is stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ. It paid our sin debt in full. From reaching back to the fall of Adam, to the last child of God, who's the promised heir of God here in this world. Paul is speaking to them of the kingdom. And the suffering that he was going to have from the Jews. And by the way, they were, I've used this term before, in their own eyes, the religious elite of the day. That's not much different than many we see today who consider to be the religious elite of the world today. But bear this in mind, as Jesus tells us in Luke, the master does not come in and feed you because you are a servant. You come in from work and you take care of him and you feed him and you do all that's required of you to do, and at best we're still unprofitable servants. We're no different from the people that are left in their own state of nature, but by the grace of Almighty God, but by the hand of Almighty God and the Spirit of God which is within you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul makes mention that he's showed these things unto them that they would profit, the church would profit, that they would be edified, that they would be built up. I would love to see the edification that comes in numbers. I would love to see the church edified in numbers and revival come, and the walls of the meeting house burst open with the church itself, the children of God which are inside. But edification actually means to build up, to strengthen in the faith that God hath given us in Christ. He said he testified both the Jews and the Greeks for penance toward God. What did John the Baptist come preaching? What did Christ preach? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did not say repent and have eternal life. If you have a mind or a heart rather to repent, it's because God has written His law upon your heart. You're already born of the Spirit. Repentance is to enter into the kingdom of God, being the assembly of the saints, being the church of the living God, founded upon Jesus Christ and the preaching of His gospel. To repent and turn away from ourselves daily, to take up our cross daily, to seek conversion daily, and to serve the Lord, denying ourselves. Many people do not do this. Many people will not do this. Many people are taught lies, heresies, have no understanding. The parable of the sower teaches us these things. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. And he says, now I go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer. But he said, even in my sufferings, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city. So I don't count my life anything. It's all for the gospel of Christ. And he tells them that he's not going to see their face anymore because he's about to be delivered. He's about to be martyred because of Christ. This man is at the point of death, and he knew that was coming. He knew that he had finished his course. He knew that by the grace of God, he'd kept the faith. I hope that when I draw my last breath, at whatever age that is, that God will give me some type of an understanding that I have kept the faith. But through all my sins and all my flesh and all my sorrow that I have inflicted upon myself, that God will enable me to know that in some way I've kept the faith. But in verse 28, we're going to begin the text. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, and this is very important. Verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself." What does he say? Take heed to yourself. Take heed to your walk. Judge yourself. If you judge yourself, if you repent daily, if you judge yourself, then others will not have to judge you. Now, there is a judgment that comes from those that hate us because they don't like us, because we preach a doctrine that does not give anything to the work of man or the power of man or the knowledge of man. And many of those who are carried away in the winds of doctrine, the world hate us because we preach the free, true, unmerited love of God, that while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, the living Word of God came into this world, born of the flesh upon of man in the likeness of sinful flesh, took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and died without sin for the people that God gave Him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Regardless of anything that happens in this world, the resurrection of the body, the soul with Christ, joined together, eternal life forever and ever, standing with God in heaven, seeing Him as He is. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the hope placed within us. That is what we teach. That is what we preach. That is the truth. God said, "Mine own right arm hath brought salvation." Christ is the right arm of God. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God to each and every one whom God calls. That's the gospel. The pride of man does not like that. The teaching of man does not like that. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Why are so many people carried away in strange and diverse doctrines? Again, the parable of the sower teaches a little some of that. Our nature is pride. Our nature is sin. Our nature is self. The same thing, and I've given you this many times, that caused Adam to fall, is the same thing the Jewish religion had become when Christ came into the world, the lowest point of the history of mankind, justifying themselves by the keeping of the law, justifying themselves, making themselves equal to or above God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, and bringing Him down to the level of man, that He could not save them, that they were here not because of God, not because of Christ, whom they rejected and would not have, but because of a man called Abraham. But a man is a sinner. A man cannot save himself. A man could not save himself. The gospel is that Christ saved us. He said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine of God." Romans 6:17. Paul said that he was thankful that we were the servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Doctrine upon your heart. It's given by the Spirit of God at regeneration. My admonition to anyone that will ever hear this is to take up your cross and serve the Lord. Many people try to do that, but they try to do it for the wrong motivation, for the wrong reason. Many people are taught that if you work and you work and you work, you'll get to eternal heaven and eternal glory. If you don't work, you may fall from that and be cast into hell. How foolish is the conception that I would be going down the road, and I'll just use this little quick example, and someone pull out in front of me, and in my human nature of anger, I get mad and say something or think something I shouldn't think and hit them, or they hit me and I'm dead and didn't have a chance to repent and I'm going to be in hell. If Christ died for you, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will take your eternal life from you. The doctrine. the true doctrine of God, that Christ saved sinners. He was the friend of sinners. He loved sinners, and that work was finished and completed upon the cross. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself, saving ourselves. Well, you see there, you can save yourself. Yes, you can, not eternally. What Peter say in Acts chapter 2, save yourself from this untoward generation. If we are not living in an untoward generation today, God help us, because I don't want to see it when it gets here. Save yourself. Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of God, all the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ loved us, that Christ gave Himself for us, that He redeemed us, that He bought us, He brought us back to God, and we have a responsibility to serve God. David Pyle said yesterday, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, that when God gives a man the ability, He also gives him the responsibility. That's our responsibility, to serve God, to be separate from the things of the world, to walk in godliness, to love the church, to love the brotherhood, to love and to live as peacefully as we can with all men. Let's go back to Acts 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. He is speaking to ministers of the gospel. What is the purpose of a minister? What did the Lord ask Peter in John 21? What did He ask him? What did He tell him? Lovest thou me more than these, those who were around him? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my lambs. Ask him again. Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Then he asked him a third time. Peter was grieved in his heart because he asked him again. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. What is Paul telling them? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Feed my sheep. What is the purpose of a minister? Christ said it and confirmed it twice more. Feed my sheep. We have people ordained to the ministry today that won't feed sheep. They won't leave their own home to go somewhere and help somebody in need. Pray about that. We have churches without pastors. Pray for them. We have churches, including us, where we sit with five or six people on the Lord's Day to worship. I thank God for sustaining it, but we need to pray for each other that God would work His way in heaven and earth, that His will would be done in heaven and earth. And that if it is His will, that He would add to the church daily such as should be saved. Ministers to feed the flock of God. Study to pray to rightly divide the word of truth. If we read the Bible and God hath given us the unction of the Spirit, and we realize the truth in God's Word that Jesus Christ is all God and all man. You cannot take away His humanity and you cannot take away His Godship. Then we understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Study, pray, meditate. Feed the flock of God. God will feed two just as He feeds 200. The same manna, the same angel food, the same bread, the same true doctrine, and God will send pastors according to His heart to do so. Feed to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. That doesn't mean the church is to be ran by a preacher as a emperor or a king or a dictator. A minister is placed in position of God. The word elder means wisdom, because God calls him, gives him a little more wisdom, a little more ability. God pulls him, as Brother Charles Estes used to say, a little closer to the Lord himself, that he might know these things for the purpose. For the purpose. Not for the goodness of the man, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The preacher's no different than anybody else. He's sinful flesh and blood. And believe me, you think Satan gets in your pocket, he comes after a preacher. But listen, they are to oversee the things of God and the preaching of the gospel. I repeat, why are there so many false doctrines? Why are there so many split churches, denominations? We can go back in our history to the 1830s when there's one Baptist church in this land. And since that time, it has split wide open and society has gone downhill. The more flavors of Baptists we have, the more flavors of religion we have, the more winds of doctrine men fall to, the worse society gets as a whole. And the church, and the family. Feed the flock, and take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To feed the church of God. To teach them the sovereign God of heaven, without beginning, without end, who needeth nothing, who wants nothing. He purposes, and it is. Who declared the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will have all my good pleasure. Feed the church of God. If you preach the true gospel of God, a heart conditioned of God to hear it will respond. Which he, Christ, God in the flesh, hath purchased with his own blood. You were bought with the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to say this while I'm on that. Christ did not offer himself to you. Someone show me in the King James Bible where God or Christ ever offered himself to anyone other than God the Father as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. It's not there. Well, I got it out of the Bible. You sure did, as Sonny Powell says, because you sure didn't get it from in the Bible. It had to come from out of it. And I'm giving you all this to get to the 29th verse. For I know that after my departing, for Paul was going to be martyred, shall grievous wolves, y'all pray for me, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Satan changed one word. He added one word to God's word. God had said, the day thou eatest thereof of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan added one word and said, thou shalt not surely die. It was good to look at. Oh, you save yourself. You make a choice. You work your way to heaven. That's pleasing to the natural ear. That's pleasing to the world, to the vanity of man, that I have done it again. I've made it. I've worked my way there. God owes me because I'm a good person. God forbid. Let me say another truth again. Our best works dare not appear before the throne of God. We are accepted in the work of Christ and Him alone. Now, grievous wolves would enter the flock. Paul said they're coming. Paul knew they were coming. How did Paul know? Back again to Satan in the garden, because from the time Satan rebelled He has tried to corrupt the Word of God, the understanding of God, while we live in this world, especially as fallen creatures. The only comfort, the only peace that we have in this world, our life, our being, our movement, everything that we have according to God in this world is by the Word of God. The living Word of God, yes. The Spirit of God, yes. But by hearing and knowing and understanding the truth in God given to us in the gospel, which manifests life, which makes it known, and immortality, which gives us the understanding of this sovereign God of heaven who came into this world to die for us and raise up for our justification. It's perverted. Why? Because grievous wolves would enter the flock. This was nothing new. Peter said in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people. He's speaking of back in the day of Moses. He's speaking of back in the day of old Israel. Let me find Deuteronomy. I have to go back farther than Judges to do that. Deuteronomy 13, read the words of the Bible. This is the Word of God. God under the law. The law was hard. The law is hard. The law is not for the godly. The law is for the ungodly. Okay? You're not judged by the law. You're judged by Christ because He's fulfilled the law and He's cleansed you with His blood. And when God looks upon you, He sees the blood of His Son. But in the law, for its purpose given, consider the seriousness of the law. Consider the seriousness of false teaching, especially in that day. If there arise among you, Deuteronomy 13, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. For they were to know and love and serve the one true and living God who gave the land in which they were going to Abraham for an everlasting possession. Then thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul. Once again, this is not dealing with heaven and immortal glory. A child of God could not be taken from Christ. Cannot today, cannot tomorrow, could not in that day, although they were not all children of God in Israel. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage and thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Begins in verse 6. If your brother or your son or one of your beloved kindred tries to lure you away from God, there to be put to death. That was under the law. We don't kill people today. We don't fight with swords. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. But consider the seriousness of perverting the Word of God and the true gospel. You've got to know why the church is in the shape it's in and why the world is in the shape it's in. Satan deceives. Beginning in verse 12, to show you again the seriousness of it, he deals with a city that would lead you away. And he said the city should be destroyed. The entire city. And verse 16 says, and it shall be for an heap forever. It shall not be built again. Now that was under the law. That was under the law. But you understand why Paul said, after my departing, the apostle to the Gentiles shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Again to Peter, your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking him he may desire. That is why, Brother Jude says, and I'll start in verse 3 and read a few. Beloved, when I gave all diligence all diligence, as hard as I could, as long as I could, as strong as I could, by God's word, by the scripture, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, the one which we all share in Christ, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What was the faith once delivered unto the saints? Somebody says, well, you don't know that. You don't have the minutes from their association. No, I don't. Because they didn't have associations. They had a church, the church of God. It was founded upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for them, who redeemed them, who raised up for the justification, who founded the church on the preaching of the gospel of those 12 apostles that he sent forth with signs and wonders that they had and we do not have today. But the faith they had was not in man, it was in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is faith. That is true faith. And with that knowledge comes love, meekness, joy, temperance, all the things listed as the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a gift from God. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. There were those that tried to worship Peter, tried to sit in his shadow as he walked by. There were those that sought to worship Paul and Barnabas. What was their response? Don't worship me. I'm not an angel. I'm not a god. I'm a man. I'm a sinful man. And I promise you, the Apostle Paul and Peter both felt to be sinful men, because Peter, I bet you, never forgot when Christ turned and looked at him when the cock crowed the third time and the Lord looked at him and he went out and wept bitterly. I bet you never forgot that. And I know for a fact, because Paul records it, that he never forgot the fact that he persecuted the church of God, his own beloved brethren, but he did it in ignorance. The faith was in Jesus Christ. It's not in a church or an association. It's not in some man. It's not in money. It's not in anything other than Jesus Christ. If a man could have saved us and delivered us, then child of God, Christ would not have entered the world. But he could not. There would none to help. And God sent his only begotten Son in the world to save his people from their sins. Now let's go on to the grievous wolves. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Well, how'd they get here? Crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. I would imagine back in the days when TV was not prevalent in this modern communication, where a man could go buy a TV channel and put his show on and tell you how great he is and how great Israel is and how God owes us salvation and how you better do right or you're going to fall and go to hell, and how all of God needs your money to save these people. God needeth nothing. Understand that. God took men and sent them to preach in that day just as he does in this day. From the prophets of old, God did. Moses didn't decide to go help the children of Israel. God sent him. All the prophets the same way. I love Isaiah. God made him preach naked 3 years to show Israel that he was going to strip them naked. Brother, sometimes I think maybe that's what we ought to do. But we sure need to be looking up and understanding the way people have no concern for God or the church, that we're going to be stripped naked one day. I didn't say cast into hell. We may not have the church in 20 years. Our grandchildren's children may not have a church to worship. There's an old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, I'm going to tell you, God said, you've rejected my knowledge, I'll reject you. And therefore they had 400 years of darkness without a seer. Certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. What's Moses telling them back there in Deuteronomy 13? You're going to have people come in because of the pride of man, the love of money, the lust of the flesh. And they're going to teach you things that are untrue. And the law, they were stoned. If they did that today, there'd be little piles of rocks everywhere. Denying the only Lord God, well, let me back up. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Let me make this while I'm on that. God set you at liberty so that you could worship God. That's why Paul said, use not your liberty as an occasion of flesh. because nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, is not a freedom to live ungodly, to forsake worship, to live ungodly, to go out, I'll use the terminology, whoring around and doing all those things that we're not to do. Is it going to take you from the hand of God? No. But it'll sure make you live a life of misery while you draw breath in this world, and it will sure not do any good for the church of the living God. And again, we serve Him because we love Him, and I love my Lord. I'm ashamed of the acts in my life which have hurt the church or hurt my family or hurt myself. It will never lose our eternity, but brethren, there is a consequence for our actions here in the world, and that's something many don't tell you today. It's not a license to sin. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Acts. Won't find Acts in Peter. For I know that after this my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you. Let's go to John. 1 John. I've mentioned this several times. I want to do it very quickly and move through it and not dwell on it. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and 2. Very quickly, make a point. And He is the propitiation, the mercy seat, the covering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is the world of God. That's cut, dried, and simple. 2 and 18 of 1 John. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. You want to see the first one? Satan in the garden. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Two things quickly give you in this is we're living in the last times because Christ has established His church in this world, and there are Antichrists here in the world. There were before. We just proved that by Holy Writ, and there are today. Now, again, grievous wolves shall enter in among you because Satan seeks to destroy the church of the living God. Satan knows he will be cast into the lake of fire. He knows that he hath but a short time. He knows he cannot defeat God. He knows he cannot stand before God because he's a rebellious, sinful creature. He knows that he's bound to an extent and God keeps him away from us, and God only suffers what he will suffer for him to do, and he knows that one day he'll be cast eternally in the everlasting lake of fire. And that's what Satan knows. So he tries to destroy us while we live in this temporal world. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Oh, but it gets deeper. They went out from us. Did you catch that? They were in the church membership. I'm not talking about today necessarily, although it has happened in this day and age too, but this goes back. They were in the church. Do you remember when those in John chapter 6 were following the Lord because of the bread, and He told them that He was the bread of life, and that they had to eat His flesh and drink His blood, and many of them went away saying, this is a hard thing. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. Their pride, their humility would not let them, or else they were just there for the bread and were not God's children at all. There were both there. We know that because Pharisees and scribes came, and He told them they were not of His sheep, some of them, not all. Many of them went away and followed Him no more. Same way today. What did Jesus say to the 12? Wilt thou also go away? What did Peter say? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? For we know and are sure. How are you sure? By the Spirit of God within you. As John also says, you have an unction from God and know all things. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Read church history. Read who is left. Who has gone away. Those who left. I've mentioned before in the ages, 2nd, 3rd, 4th century. when we would not accept the baptizing of infants or sprinkling. We would not accept their doctrine. How we were persecuted and killed. Go back to even in this land of freedom where God's people were persecuted and killed because they wouldn't accept doctrines, wouldn't accept church authority to send a man to preach, a mission. God's got nothing against missions, but God sends men to preach. The church does not. The minister does not, as far as his other ministering brethren. The Spirit of God sends them to preach. But my point is, we're persecuted. They were of us, but they left us. Why are there so many different flavors of religion in the world? Because they left the true church, going off into the winds of doctrine in the world. Why do people believe today you can fall from grace and enter eternal hell? If Christ died for you, there's absolutely nothing that can put you in hell. Nothing. Read the Bible. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's the answer? The cutoff. He said, believe not every spirit in 1 John 4, but try the spirits. Let me go to 2 Corinthians 11 very quickly. I got a few minutes. I want to give you this. As Paul begins speaking of the Satan beguiling Eve, and he begins to speak of the simplicity of Christ, he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy that I might espouse you to one husband as a virgin to Christ, a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, 2 Corinthians 11, 3, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Flip over here to 15. 14 of this same 11th chapter. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, let's put that this way, very short example. You send me your money and I'll help all these people over here. The money doesn't go to them. Look at the houses these people live in. Look at the fences around them, the armed guards. People who do not know God, who do not love God, who by mass communication fleece the flock of the living God. Paul talks about that. Oh yes, in the very middle of this text, he's talking about why he would not take money from the church. He worked with his own hands to support himself, that he would not be held accountable to them, that they would know that money nor man did not give them salvation. It came from the grace of God. It came in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And these people, as he's saying, that were there begging for money and glorifying in themselves and glorifying in their works and glorifying in what they do, were nothing more than false prophets. Same thing today. Yes, Paul knew grievous wolves would enter the flock. But let's go back for verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, deceived her through his subtlety. Verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Do you not think that the Islamist who is carried away in that religion of Satan thinks that he's doing Satan a favor and doing the work of God by killing Christians? He thinks he's doing God a favor by killing them. Paul thought he was doing the Lord's service by killing Christians till God touched them. That's the only way they'll change, is God touches them. But they're deceived of Satan, thinking they're doing what's right. Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The ideas, the thoughts, the way he presents himself to one that they're doing good, they're doing the right thing. When in fact, same old serpent and his subtlety that beguiled Eve and brought chaos when Adam rebelled. But he said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How simple is the gospel? Christ died for the ungodly. Who were they? all the Father gave him. John 6, again John 17, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as received him, that worked their way there, that were good enough to get there. No! To as many as thou hast given him. The purpose of God, grace upon God's elect. Simple. Simplicity. He saved his people from their sins. Period. He loved us before we loved him. Therefore, we love him because he has revealed his love unto us. We serve God because of love. Yes, there's a fear in it, a reverential fear of God. But we serve God because we love God. And our minds should not be corrupted from simplicity, the simplicity in Christ. Peter stepped out upon the water when he saw the Lord walking and he began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. He didn't pray to Mary. He didn't pray to some other person that was dead and gone. He said, Lord, save me. And he was saved by the only God who could save him. I don't want a God that can't save. I could be my own God in that sense, and many are, and I would be, without the grace of God revealing unto me the glory of Jesus Christ and my own vile self. Simplicity of Jesus Christ. And now add to that simplicity the finished story of standing in eternal glory with him. But here's the result. For he that preacheth, if he that preacheth another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit whom you have not received, John said, try the spirits, or another gospel, for there's not a gospel. Galatians 1, Paul said it twice. If he that cometh, we or an angel from heaven, preacheth another gospel than that you have received. What did Paul preach? God chose you. God loves you. God died for you in the man Jesus Christ. God cleansed you. God brought you to himself. God will bring you to heaven in immortal glory in the body, spirit, and soul reunited. That is the gospel. Now serve the Lord. Preach another gospel. Let him be accursed. Where was I going to close? Acts 20. Also out of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Dollar bill, green money, a lot of it. Power, fame is another. Therefore, watch. Here's our answer. And remember. Remember what the apostle to the Gentiles. Remember what the Holy Spirit. Remember what the Word of God has taught us. I ceased not to warn every you night and day for 3 years. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance from all of them that are sanctified. I commend you to God. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the doctrine. Continue in the gospel. Take heed unto thyself and unto the gospel. Know the truth. Love the truth. Preach the truth. Walk the truth. There are so many of God's children, and it is manifest and evident by the things that people say they believe in this world that give doubt to them. They doubt their salvation. They doubt God. They doubt the power of God. They doubt Jesus Christ. They doubt so much they give glory and honor unto men and women that belongs rightfully to God. No different from the Jew at the time that Christ came into the world. I pity those folks. I don't say that to be mean. I say that it's so sad that a child of God could actually doubt God. Or doubt that if Christ died for them, that they would be lost, that they could fall away. Oh, you can fall away from grace if you justify yourself by the law. That's a temporal thing here in the world. Losing the peace of God. Losing the rest that Christ gave us in this world, in the kingdom. Goes right along with the text.
And then it said in Hebrews 4, there remaineth therefore rest in the people of God, seeing then that some, for God will not be left without witness, must enter in. He that enters into God's rest must cease from his own works, because we have to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have to rest in the work of God. I very sincerely, we need to pray every day for the church, certainly, that God would edify us, that God would revive us. Above all things, that we live and carry on and practice our worship according to the King James Bible. And that's another text condemned for reading out of the KJV, it was called. Well, that tells you right there it's not one of us, because it's not a King James Bible. It's a King James Version. All the rest of them are perversions. I asked why we didn't use the other seven books of the Old Testament. Well, I call this to your mind, that the Jews themselves did not consider those other seven books, Maccabees being some, all those of the Apocrypha. The word itself means not inspired. It's good for history, but we don't preach it. It's not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. The Jews did not consider it to be. The church never has considered it to be. Why would we want to pervert that? It's brought in by grievous wolves who seek to devour you. And there is but one who can save, and that is God. Pray for the church. Pray for all of God's people. Those in the church, those out of the church, those that have left the church, those that are here, those that have never heard the name of Christ. I pray for them all that God would bless, that God would give them the peace of God in their heart and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that is my daily prayer. We live in a sad, sad world. There's nothing here but hatred, and God is love. There's nothing here but lust of the flesh and sin, and God is righteous. God is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. And we all know the truth of that.